unconditional reality, how to be there from here.
In every corner, I battle through frustration. And I wonder, am I all that I was meant to be? Just a simple man, aspiring to be all you see in me, all you see in me.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Unconditional Reality, How to Be There from Here. And tonight, our panel is going to discuss the concept of aging. And even the fact that I'm calling it a concept begs certain questions. Do we really have to age in the way that we've all become familiar with? Is life really a setup? If we were to graph it, would it be from birth a steady line upwards to a certain age, and then the age, then the graph plateaus, and then eventually it starts to go downward because we're older or we're no longer able to do the things we used to do, or our faculties aren't as sharp? Is this truly inevitable, or is there some deeper, more profound factor at work? Is it possible to expand and extend our life streams indefinitely? Is it possible to mature on a conscious level and an awareness and a utilization of our various talents and abilities? Is it possible to mature and yet not carry along with it what we think of as the inevitable physical decline? So this is the subject and topics that we're going to discuss this evening. And so we'll start with Broadway Mike. And what are your thoughts, Broadway?
Well, as for those of you that aren't familiar with me, you might know that I'm no longer in the physical, the living body, three-dimensional body. Well, when I was, I started having thoughts like somebody said, and I heard it from a lot of places, that the oldest part of our body is only 7 years old. So I thought, because the cells rebirth, they get born, they die, they get born, they die, and that they're in various cycles, and the oldest cycle is like 7 years old. So I started thinking, wait a moment, if the oldest part of me is 7 years old, how come I'm getting older? How come I'm getting older? And then I heard that the cells, when they come in, are new cells. So if they're new cells, A, why am I getting older? And B, if somebody's sick, how come they stay sick when they're getting all of this new cells? So, just seemed to me that I've seen so many experiments and read so many books and everybody talking about you create your own reality. So I started thinking, well, maybe I get older and people get older, and despite the fact that they've got all these new fresh cells coming in, they get sick or whatever, it's because on some deeper level, maybe they think that's what's supposed to happen. Not on a conscious level necessarily, but on a deep, deep level. And then I started reading a lot of new science out there that's starting to prove from a scientific point of view. Now, I know people like the Big Kahuna and Mother Precious, I know people, you know, like that have known all of this for like forever. But from the scientific point of view, they're beginning to show that perception colors everything. And it even, Flip?
Well, yes, we talked about this before. This is Flipjack. Hi. We would say that perception even trumps the genetic code. Now, I'm not really positive how all that works, and yet, that's how we would say it.
Well, okay, well, thanks, Flip.
You're welcome.
No problem. Well, yeah, right, okay, thanks. So, that got me kind of thinking, like, if that's the case, then why am I getting old? Why do I have got pains in this and pains in that?
Broadway, as always, your thinking kind of stimulates me. Hi, everybody. This is Grace Jones, for those of you new to the show. And, I have another question. I don't mean to go away from what you're saying, but, you know, I was brought up on the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament. And right there in the Bible, it's talking about some of these people living hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. And yet, I hear everybody around me talking about, oh my gosh, they're getting into the, oh, I don't know, 60s, 70s, 80s, oh, 90s even. Oh my gosh, you know, they're on their last legs. Oh my gosh, they can't think no more. They can't do the things they used to do no more. And so on and so on. And then I'm thinking, wait a moment. Holy cow. These are the same people that believe in the Bible. Well, if you believe in the Bible, and I'm not saying you should or shouldn't, but if you do, and I know lots of you do, you got all these people living hundreds of years. Now, how come they get to live hundreds of years? And they're part of the foundation of your whole belief system. And you think, my gosh, I'm hitting 60, 70, 80, and I'm on my last legs. Better get my affairs in order. How come?
Well, now that you bring up a very, very interesting question, Grace. Belief. Now, again, now I did have a congregation. I did have a flock when I was in the body. And for those of you new to the show, I am no longer in the body. I have recently deceased myself along with Broadway. Yeah, you and me, brother. And don't forget me. Right, flip. All right, so now, let's look at this for a second. It seems to me, on just a very, very casual observation, that Grace, you're just touching on something.
But go on, Reverend. You clarify it more for me, please. I love it when you do.
Well, thank you, Grace. Now, not only did so many people from back then, according to the Bible, live hundreds of years of age, they also were in frequent communication with guidance. Call it angels. Call it messengers of the Lord. Well, they were in complete and continuous communication with sources outside of their normal physical reality. So there's a bit of a hypocrisy that I'm seeing from a lot of people, at least from the perspective of this type of spiritual belief system. There's a hypocrisy. And the hypocrisy is that right there in some of these books that you hold near and dear, they're talking about things that now so many people are saying are hogwash. And yet you're saying hogwash and you still go and worship at a church or a synagogue or some other institution that is based on the information that you are calling hogwash. I don't know. I could be missaying things, but that's how it appears to me. And so I want to say to all of you, and you can choose to accept these things or not, but I will say to you that life is continuous. And from the perspective that I now have, I can tell you that your sense of aging, your sense of being a mortal human being is largely based on a perception rather than a reality. Well, my gosh, there's new discoveries in your scientific field every other day that are pointing to the viability of how thought influences your physical reality. This is no longer some kind of little esoteric concept being sprouted out by just a precious few. No, no, this is becoming mainstream.
Oh, it is. Oh, excuse me. But just for one moment. just for one moment, let's look at this thing. Now, how many times have you out there maybe had a little bit of a little pain here or there or something bothering you, and you say, or you start to feel like a cold setting in or something like that, and then you say, oh my gosh, I can't have a cold right now. I've got to go do this and I've got to go do that. I just can't afford to be sick right now. And then what happens? A lot of the time, your sickness seems to go away. You don't feel nothing. Now why do you think that happens?
Ooh, wait. This is my precious for all of you out there. I weigh in on this. I like to say weigh in because when I come into the physical form, I am so big. Anyway, this happens precisely because of what we're talking about. You make a decision. The person says, oh, I can't afford to be sick right now. I've got to go do this. I've got to go do that. They make a very powerful decision, and that decision is supported by a whole lot of energy and belief. Oh no, it's much more important that I go do this thing. These people are counting on me. Whatever. It's much more important I go do this than I sit home and be sick. I cannot be sick right now. And what is happening is they are telling the body, they are telling the system with no uncertain terms, I cannot give in to sickness now. I must go do such and such. And guess what? The body hears this and the body listens. And it listens because in that moment, the person saying it has so much belief that they cannot be sick, that they don't get sick. Do you see?
Oh, yeah. So, because they're investing so much of their energy into the fact that they are not sick, that they are well, that they are strong, that they can go out and do what they can, that overrides whatever was going on to make them think that they would be sick. I see that.
Well, that's right. Now, this is Happy Harbinger, by the way. And I'm a Harbinger, and for those of you new to the show, I, like Mother Precious, are not part of the human cycle. We just chose not to do that. However, I did choose to be present for all of you as much as I possibly can, sharing, bringing interesting news and information. So, just go back for a second, Grace.
Yes.
Now, what you were talking about, let's just take that concept where they were saying, I've got too much to do. This is very important. I must go out and do this, regardless of the feeling that I might be getting sick. And what happens? They find the energy. They find the strength. And more often than not, the cold or sickness, whatever it is, seems to go away. Let's just take that and expand it a little bit. And just, is it such a big leap to see that that was a choice?
Well, no, I can see that that's a choice. Certainly.
Well, all right then. So, it's a choice that they decided to, they needed to go do something so they're not going to get sick. And the body said, okay, I won't get sick. So, we expand that concept and then we start looking at little things from day to day. You talk to anybody who heals themselves, and there are lots of people who do all the time. They start to feel a pain. They start to feel something uncomfortable, and they say, oh, no, I can't do this. I can't have this pain right now. I've got to go such and such. I've got to do this. And what they're doing is they are talking to their system, not just the physical body, but the whole system, and saying, I am making a different choice. And my choice is not to experience this pain, not to experience whatever the situation may be. And given the fact that they have enough belief in that, and they have enough energy invested in that belief, guess what? The pain goes away. And
That is a little piece of the picture of what we're talking about here. It doesn't stop with just some aches and pains or forestalling or putting away a cold or something like that. Oh, no. Oh, no. It goes much further. It goes much further. And if you just extend that belief system, it goes into your entire organism and in how your entire organism adjusts to the day-to-day living.
Oh. Wait a minute. So you're saying when for example, people said they were healed by Jesus and Jesus went by and said, you can get up and you can walk. Are you telling me that what happened is they had such a belief system in him that healing possibility just flew through, that divine guidance, that divine love just flew through and they accepted it without reservation? And so they were healed? Is that kind of what you're speaking about?
Well, yeah, that's it. In a nutshell, it's to the degree that you choose to believe. I'll let Bennett take this one. Well, thank you. I think what Happy's referring to is the fact that when I have been in these conversations about aging and so forth, and people who don't... who have different opinions, they always come around and they really support the fact of what seems to be obvious, that I'm getting older, I can't do this, I can't do that, and so forth. And of course, I've seen that happen, and they do get older, and they are unable to sustain a certain quality of life that they had previously experienced. I see it as being truly a matter of belief. And if you are so focused on thinking that the whole world is, your whole world is based on just what you see in the mirror, then what we're saying probably won't make a lot of sense. On the other hand, if you're willing to take a few steps out of perhaps the normal comfort zone and see that what is possible exists in what we might say is the unseen, what has not been made manifest yet. And that's the real meat, the real intensity, the real fullness of moving into a new paradigm of awareness, is beginning to invest a lot more of your conscious energy into what is not seen. Keeping in mind that what you do see, that what is your physical reality, not just your body, but your experience of life, is a matter of choice. It is matter following your thought. Form follows thought. Always. It's a universal law. It's a universal principle that form follows thought. And not the other way around. And what you see and what you experience, I guarantee you, changes as you change how you choose to see the world. There are countless stories of people being on the verge of death with some tragic, serious illness and suffering, who change their insights, who change their way of looking at things, and experience a remarkable transformation. And a profound truth is that what is possible for one person, one individual in our whole history of evolution and so on, what is possible for one being to experience is inherently possible for the entire human race. It's just that some people come to experience one kind of miraculous thing, perhaps before others do, and yet we're all one. We're not separate, even though it seems at times that we are. We're not separate. So if we're not separate, and if we're all one, then whatever potential is shown by somebody else, even a great, great master, is part of our human potential. So
if you have ever believed that there have been beings, as the Bible says, who live for hundreds of years, if you believe or have experienced in your dream state, in your meditative state, visiting sacred sites on this planet and other places that you may not be able to see with your naked eye, but you've seen in your dream state. I was going to say your imagination, but even your imagination is real. If you have any sense of connection and belief in these things, then that is part of your reality. It is part of your reality, however you want to label it. And just like the person who says, oh my gosh, I can't get sick right now because I've got to go do this and I've got to go do that. In the same vein, the same channel is the fact that whatever you can imagine has a real place in your life. And remember, we've been told this universe is a subjective universe. Even quantum physics, had the one of the cornerstones is that the observer changes what is observed. What is being observed is affected by how it's being observed. So it is a very much a fluid, subjective reality, and that has to do with aging and our health. So the new, if you will, new, and I put new in quotation marks, new old kind of thinking is really based on the reality that we have much greater control, much greater ability to physicalize what we think and believe. So I have here a couple things from Norman's journals that we used to read from. We haven't in a while. And here's one thing. Norman, would you like to read this? Thank you. And for those of you new to the show, I'm Bennett's multidimensional twin. And this is something that I started to think about before I had what many of you would call the grand awakening. And here I go. There is a mass consciousness belief that we must deteriorate, and then, of course, we've glorified it. We've given it poetic license for the graying and beauty of the aging process. And although I appreciate the time and investment given in any of these circumstances, I honor that poetry and that beauty. But why do we need to glorify the process of aging if it's not necessary? Why not glorify the ever-increasing sense of expansion? That consciousness unfolding and deeply enriching the individual, and to one extent, our whole entire society. Physical life is a matter of choice. If you dwell completely in spirit, the physical life will follow. You will naturally exercise, lose weight, straighten out, become physically agile, and your appearance and health will greatly improve. Aging is largely a matter of choice. The body, left to its own devices, can live a long time, but guided by true spiritual awareness, can go on indefinitely if you choose.
Wow. You know what? You know what, Brother Norman?
What? What's that?
I think we should take just a short break and let that energy of what you just said settle in for just a moment. Aging is largely a matter of choice. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with you in just a sec. Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. Wow, there's so much energy around all this. I'm sure we're going to have to extend it in another show or two. We have a guest and an occasional visitor to the panel, Emma the First. Would you like to give us some of your thoughts, Emma?
Well, yes, I would. Now, I have just recently crossed over, as you say, and I lived a long life. I can see now, relatively speaking, I lived to 92, and I can see clear as day right now that what's being spoken about is more of a decision than I ever thought. I can see now that I was a product of programming, and I'm not saying it was intentional, because everybody I know gets born and lives a life and dies, and yet now I can see the beauty of understanding aging as more a matter of consciousness, expanding, so you understand more rather than being able to experience less. Now, I must admit, even in my now what I see as somewhat short life, it never ever made sense to me that the older I got, the wiser I became, and yet the wiser I became, the less I was able to do and experience. That never ever seemed logical to me. And I must admit, I wondered why the good Lord, and I still refer to what you call all there is as the good Lord, would make a decision to kind of give you all of this expanded knowing and awareness just before you pop off into another dimension. Now, I know I didn't know for sure. I just thought it was a matter of heaven and hell. Now, I understand that heaven and hell is what I simply chose to create for myself. And yet here I am talking to you as clear as day. So it didn't make sense to me. And I certainly didn't think that the creator of all this had made a mistake. I mean, why show dessert if you can't get through the main course? Well, that's all I got to say about it.
Thank you, Emma, the First. Oh, that was so beautiful. Yes, yes. And I know that for people listening out there, it seems a little bit far-fetched that not only can you live a long, long, long time, but that it is more in your control than you think. Oh, yes, I understand that you can think that. Oh yeah, well, this is Shane, and I wasn't really gonna come through today. And for those of you out there, I am still in your body, I mean in my body, and I'm living in Ireland, and for those of you that might have a little bit of knowledge about the show, I used to be more of a militant, kind of a troublemaking person until I realized that wasn't getting me nowhere. And so I am still a little bit more politically oriented than perhaps other people. And now I can see from listening to you and looking into the Akashoscope, which I do on a frequent basis, that this concept, it's a great concept, death, if you're motivated by control. Our world seems to be so designed to give everybody so much stress, and so let's add stress, the stress of your
imminent mortality or you're grieving for those that have passed on. And then I can see people adding insult to injury. Let's charge a huge amount for the privilege of dying, you know, dying in style. I can see from what you're saying that dying in itself is not inevitable. What is inevitable is completion. Is completion. And so I'm beginning to get a new point of view about all this. Now, if you feel complete, why would you want to stay somewhere? If you feel complete with whatever everything it has to offer, you would be inclined to go somewhere else, experience other types of realities and situations. You'd want to continually add to your experience. After all, we're kind of curious. But the sense of dying because it's an inevitability, and then who knows what happens. No, I cannot buy that no more. That's all I want to say about it. Thank you.
Ooh, all right, weird. Thank you, Shane, for that. That is very powerful, and it's yet another perception about it all. Norman, I know you wanted to get something else in before we have to say goodbye. Okay.
Yes, thank you, Mother Precious. What I wanted to say, and this is kind of a perspective from what you would call future, you're going to see in the next 10, 20, 30 years, and it's already starting, you're going to see a very different kind of generational representation. And what I mean by that is, excuse me, what I mean by that is there are and will be many people who are entering their 70s, 80s, 90s, and past 100, who will not look and act and physically appear in general the way we used to think of people appearing in that generation. You're going to see people, many, many, many people in that age bracket and going further into what we call time, way past what we call the age of 100, who are going to be youthful. And yet there will be a sense about them that they are more experienced in this live stream, that they are theoretically chronologically older people, and yet their biological physical functioning will not show that. So there's going to be, for the first time in thousands of years in your history on the earth, there's going to be a new kind of generation that you recognize in a feeling way that they are older, and yet they will not be constrained by what we think of as the constraints of normal physical aging. You're going to have a new kind of youthful old generation, so to speak. I just wanted to put that in there.
Ooh, well, thank you, Norman. And then I just wanted to add one more thing. Do you possibly remember the acronym for FUN?
Oh, I do.
Ooh, okay, Grace, please.
FUN means Freedom Union Now. Awesome, I like that so much. Freedom Union Now.
Oh, yes, all right. So, we want to have one more thought and then we leave you. And that is FUN means a cosmic appreciation for life. And on this reality that you call Earth, its inevitable conclusion. FUN means a cosmic appreciation for life, and in this reality, its inevitable conclusion. And now, the inevitable conclusion is transformation. Ladies and gentlemen, the inevitable conclusion is transformation, not death. And so I leave you with that.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mother Precious. And I want to say that we continue to welcome all your insights out there, your comments and questions. Just send them to me, Bennett@unconditionalreality.com. And for those of you that would like to speak with me directly, please just let me know and we'll set up a time. And from all of us here at Unconditional Reality. We hold you in our love. We hold you in our light. Sacred be you. And you are, and I am. And together we help shift our world. Namaste. Unconditional Reality. How to be there from here.
In every corner, I battle through frustration. And I wonder, am I all that I was meant to be? Just a simple